Head Start is a weekly podcast to help Liberty and Southside's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. And today we have a full table here. We've got Brian and Tim, and we've got William back for this week's podcast. He's going to take us through.
Shout out there to Southside's adult and stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Absolutely.
Well done.
Absolutely. It's for all of us. And so we are starting a new sermon series. We have wrapped up Heroes, and now we are entering into a new series that we are calling Watch Your Thoughts. And in this series, we are taking a look at particular issues in everyday life that we oftentimes are tempted to think wrongly about. And so we're going to be addressing some particular thoughts about these issues that are popular in today's culture, inside and outside the church, and then addressing them from the scriptures and saying, what do the scriptures actually teach about these things? And so in the upcoming weeks, we're going to talk about the church. We're going to talk about winning in life. What does success in life really look like? Manhood, womanhood. You talk about topics that are certainly at the forefront of our culture's thinking right now and how they wrongly think about those topics. So those will be really great issues to talk through. And then we will wrap up the series talking about parenting. And so just a great series ahead of us. We're excited about it. But today, William's going to kick us off by going through the first of our series on the church. So wrong thoughts about the church. And he's going to kind of take us through Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. So take it away, William.
Yes, sir. So this first sermon is we're going to be looking at the wrong thoughts that we have about the church, because we wanted to start out with one where everyone is on the same page in our church and in our life groups and won't be a difficult one at all. But, you know, I think the problem with, I think a lot of times our thoughts about the church is that we don't let them come from scripture. We come from how we grew up in church or what we learned from parents or even the media sometimes, or even what we think the church should or shouldn't do. And so what we want to look at is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verses 1 through 6, to allow scripture to form our thoughts about what it is, because as we're going to see at the end of this passage in chapter 4, the church is ultimately headed by Christ, and that he is the Lord, and that he is the King, and that we are to submit to him in all things. And so we see in the first six verses of chapter 4, Paul makes this move where in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, he talks a lot about our salvation and the blessings that we have in Christ. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he makes this move where he says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And so he kind of makes this transition where he says, now we've been talking a lot about what we are and who we are in Christ, and that how high of a calling it is. But now let's talk about how we are to live in light of who we are in Christ, live in light of that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that we see first where he talks about in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so what we see first that we see about the church in Ephesians is that our unity is in Christ and in the Spirit, and that we are to pursue it because it doesn't come naturally. Because we all have different opinions and things that we want, or we sin against one another and we have to forgive one another. And so we see that unity is something that is, but also something that we have to pursue in humility and love, and that this isn't something arbitrary, but it's something that because we've all been filled with the Holy Spirit, we are in verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. And so we see that our unity is because we have been bought and adopted by the Father. We are agreeing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we are all in one bond with the Holy Spirit together.
Okay, thank you, William. And you know how easy it is when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we become self-centered in the life of the church that we easily get sidetracked into wrong thinking that church is really all about me. And so two questions right at the end of that first section, 1 through 6 of Ephesians 4, I think are worthy to push pause and to really allow our life group members to consider. First of all, how could focusing on what unites instead of divides change the way the church functions in the world? How would that change the way we live out this calling and how we walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called? And then second, how could focusing on what unites instead of what divides change the way the world perceives the church? I think it's fair to ask, you know, what does Chelsea, Alabama perceive when they hear Liberty Baptist Church? And that perception is going to come from who we are and how we live out our faith as we go into the community. But when we are together in Christ, keeping our eyes fixed upon Him, and when we are by God's Holy Spirit at work within us, living worthy of the calling with which we have received, then there's a uniqueness about us. There's that set-apart distinctiveness that there's a humility and there's a gentleness, there's a patience, there's a bearing with one another in love. There is that effort in the midst of great diversity in many members of keeping the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And so it just would be good to help our life group members to reflect of what does unite us and what if we focused on that rather than our opinions, our preferences, and the things that divide us. And what difference will that make in how we function in the world and how the world perceives us?
I think that's so good. And it, I don't know, just this moment that we're in culturally, like the division that we see happening on a daily basis on the news and in the culture around us. And we have such an opportunity as the church to pursue what has been assigned to us, what has been given to us, like William said, in the gift of the gospel. And yet so often, like, instead we kind of hunker down and imitate the culture where we bite and devour and divide from one another. So it is critical. And our measures moments, I think, over the next few weeks are really a lot of the messages that are brought in the life group curriculum can boil down to this measure of what it looks like to be a student who lives changed. And remember, leaders, that our emphasis in this measure is that we want people to constantly be looking at the Word of God, at the Bible, but also at Jesus himself, and studying Him so that we know how we need to change and pattern our lives after Him. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with this Wrong Thoughts sermon series is, here's the way that we think wrong. Here's the way that Jesus would have us think based on the biblical instruction. And then how can we change to bring our minds into alignment with what Jesus wants? So the measures moment for this lesson says, Paul instructed the church to speak the truth in love. The problem is many don't know enough truth to speak it in moments of conflict. As a growing student of Jesus, the more you learn the truth, the more likely you can speak with conviction and wisdom when needed. And again, I go back to just thinking how important this is in the moment in which we live. A lot of people settle for shallow realities today. You believe what you believe because it's what your friend believes, and they told you that you should believe it as well, and so you just jump on board. If you study God's Word and you know how critical and how important unity is to the mission of the church, then you're not going to easily be swayed into causing division and into wrecking the unity of the body of Christ. So I think it's a really helpful measures moment in this curriculum.
And so then after verse 6, we see we are also unified not just in our baptism and our faith, but we're also unified in that Jesus has been risen from the dead, and that community this side of the resurrection looks completely different because we have that hope with one another, that that because Christ has been raised from the dead, that we can have that hope that death will not be the end for us. And then right after the resurrection part, in verse 11, Paul begins to talk about the fact that he has gifted the church with leaders and evangelists and pastors and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up for the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I love how Paul words that, where Paul is not dumb. He knows the weakness of humans and weakness of Christians, and that he knows that we all are unified. We do know Christ, but we are still not yet there. And so because of that, Paul is saying, listen, Jesus has not left us alone. Jesus has blessed the church with leaders and teachers to help every single Christian grow into the knowledge of Christ and grow into the unity that we have in one another. And then we see the purpose statement in verse 14, where all this is going, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And so we see that the Christian life is not a solo act, that we do not grow alone or apart from the body, because when we start to go that way is when we begin to be tossed to and fro by the culture, by the media, by the own thoughts inside of our head. But Paul is saying, no, in truth and in love and together, we grow up ultimately into our head, who is Jesus.
That's really good. And I like how he ends, that passage that grows up so that it builds itself up in love. Like that maturity, that Christian maturity, is not found so much in just knowledge or just, giftings that you see across the board, but that maturity, what the goal is really that love that Jesus said would mark his true followers, would follow, would mark his disciples there.
I think that's like the fundamental, at least for me and for a lot of folks that I can know and think of, that's the fundamental shift that has to happen in our thinking with the church. Like so many of us, whether we would say this or not, I go to a certain church because it fits me, right? Mm. It serves me in the way that I want to be served. It meets my needs, and what Paul is saying in this passage, what William just navigated us through, is like, it's the total opposite of that. Like, you're meant to be a part of what the church is and becomes to the community around it. Like, you are for the church in a sense. And yeah, there's mutual blessing that happens there, but you exist to come and be built up so that the whole body can be joined and knitted together in love, like you were saying, Kyle.
Yeah. So a lot to cover in that passage, a lot of really good material to work with in your group, and to a lot of great places to have some good discussions. Very challenging. The Live It Out points for this week are, the first one is tied to our passage, and it is, in what situation do you need to speak the truth in love? Maybe in this culture where we like to offend online, but we don't like to actually disagree in person or speak to anything in person, really. This can be a great and challenging Live It Out. I once heard it said that love is speaking when you don't want to and not speaking when you do want to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be tricky to know which way to go. So that Live It Out question number one, or challenge number one, could be a very practical and tangible way to really demonstrate that love that we're called to as believers. The second one has to do with that initiative that we've had this whole year, that we're getting into the Word consistently, a chapter a day. And so it's a time for you as leaders to remind your group about that initiative, that commitment, and to encourage them to either continue or pick the scriptures up again, or maybe to begin for the very first time on this this chapter a day initiative. So certainly want to encourage you as leaders to do that with your people. This week, for our announcements, we've just got one. Got a lot of things as the year is kicking off. We know a lot is on your schedule, a lot is on your minds, but we don't want you to leave behind we want to remind you of the immeasurably more vision gatherings that we are having for all life groups. On the week of August 5th through the 8th, those evenings, we are having particular groups here at the church building to talk through the vision, this immeasurably more vision that we have had. And so certainly wanting to encourage you to be there, please, as leaders, get your people to sign up to come with you to those. It's very important as the Lord has laid on our hearts this desire to do this replant, Shelby, over at Southside. We need you to be involved with this. And so make plans. You should have received an email inviting you to one of these specific nights. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of those. So that's August 5th through the 8th, one of those evenings. You've been invited. Please lead your group to be there and come with them. Even if you have already come to one of these gatherings, we want you there with your influence, your leadership. It will be a great evening. So just keep those in mind. And we thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.